Kilda, and welcome to another teaching from Every Nation Christchurch. For more information and resources, visit everynation.org.nz. Check us out on Facebook or download the Every Nation Christchurch app on Google Play or the App Store.
You know, Pastor Nathan and Pastor To'olu laid a great foundation to the series we're doing on that went by so quickly. I forgot my sermon title. Let me just go back. And so today's title is, where is it? There we go. Hope Renewed. You see, I'm getting so fancy with my titles and sliding in and out. I put that thing so fast. I want to speak on the book of Isaiah. I don't know how many of you get excited about prophetic books, but this book is actually quite complex, but it's also easy to understand. And that's the dichotomy of the book. It's an exciting book, but if you really delve into it, it's a great, great book. And I believe the wonderful passages Pastor Nate asked me to minister on today is really in my wheelhouse. It's passages of scripture I love. And when I love something, I want to impart it to you. And I hope you got your notebook, and I hope you're going to take notes, because I really believe this is a word in season. Even though it was prophetically spoken many, many years ago, I believe it applies for you and I today. So if we take a snapshot of the whole of the book of Isaiah, we can see it's a prophetic book. We can see that the aspects of it will speak about hope and restoration. There is incredible imagery, Jose, Joel, incredible imagery in the Bible. There's symbolism. There's judgment. How many of you? We don't like the judgment part. There's the prophetic picture of the Messiah and salvation that was coming. It's beautifully scripted there. And if you see it, understand it. The incredible thing is this was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came to the earth. That to me is just the miraculous. And then there's also, we'll see a call to justice and righteousness. And so it is just a powerful picture. And so here Isaiah speaks to, the challenges faced by the nation of Judah and offers guidance and reassurance in the midst of adversity. How many of you are facing challenges today? Now, challenges mean tough time, you need a miracle, life's not going easy, you're struggling with health, you're struggling with your children, you're struggling with your mother or your father. So how many of you are facing challenges? Okay, the passage today is for you. Even though it was written hundreds of years ago, this passage means something for you and I today. And I hope you have ears to hear what Isaiah was prophetically speaking to Judah. I believe it's for you and I today. Are you ready? Buckle up your seatbelts, and here we go. This is what Isaiah says in Isaiah 45, verse 18. And I don't have time to read all the passages, otherwise we'll be here tomorrow. And so this is what he says. Here he's speaking to Judah, okay? And he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell. Oopsie, I don't know what happened there. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Friends, here the prophet was saying to Judah, you need to forget. Say forget. Now, when I was pondering on this, on these words, when I look at scripture, I drill down into every single word. Because I think words are so important, because when you understand the word, you can understand the meaning and what it means to you and I today. It says, forget the former things. And the former things are all the challenges, the struggles, and whatever. And I believe God wants you and I to know today, you need to forget the former things. There is nothing you can do about your past. Nothing. Nothing. You cannot rewind the clock. If I look at my own life and my journey, there's some things I wish I can change, but I can never change. I wish I could change a situation. I wish I could change it. We should have had 4 kids or 8 kids. There's nothing you can do. But here the prophet's saying we need to forget. Now the word forget is not press a delete button like you do on the computer and it deletes it forever. I believe we will always have the memory of something. But the memory should not impact and influence the way you and I live today. If it influences the way you and I live today, we haven't got over the situation. And God hasn't brought healing. He hasn't brought restoration into that situation. For example, most of you know I went through depression in 1992, major depression. I have the memory, but I don't live in the depression. I live in the memory of the goodness that God set me free in that moment. And I have forgotten about it. It doesn't influence my life, but it's part of my story and my testimony of who I am today. So the challenge for you and I, if it's still tender and raw, you haven't got your healing. And I pray that God brings healing into those situations. Friends, we cannot allow, we can't afford in 2024 to allow the past to define who we are today. Even if you've made mistakes, guess what? We've all made mistakes. How many of you have made mistakes? 3 of you. I mean, the other you must be Jesus. We've all made mistakes. We've all blown it. We all wish we didn't do something. But you see, the enemy wants to trap you in your past because he knows if he can trap you in your past, it will impact your present and it will have a negative influence on your future. So the other prophet says, forget. Let God bring healing into that situation so that you can move on into the plans and the purposes of your life. It says, do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on the past. I am truly amazed when I do marriage counseling with couples, how couples remember things from the past. I am blown away. 2 years prior, we've dealt with it, we've buried it, God's put it in the sea, forgiveness has come, and healing has come, and then 2 years later, you deal with a situation with a couple again, and they call back the past. Friends, you don't do it. When God brings healing and restoration, he buries it. It's from the east, it's from the west. Don't call back the past. You call back the past, it impacts your future. Yeah. It impacts your present and your future. I mean, there's just 2 words. If you want to write it down, this is for free. Stop it. Just stop it. Don't do it. If you've spoken about it and forgiveness has come, release it to the cross of Calvary and move forward. Never to be remembered again. It's part of your testimony, but never to be remembered. Don't use the past as ammunition against the person again. Don't do it. Amen? By the way, I love this. I love this topic. I'm sure you can feel my passion. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, when you see the word see, some people see, and if you contrast it, some people don't see. Which category do you fall into? In this wonderful group of people, I know there are people who see. But I also know there are people who don't see. I pray by the Spirit of God that you would begin to see. That you'd see that God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in your life. Men, that's why you need to be at Revival Group Tuesday night. Because God wants to do a new thing in your life. Because when He does a new thing in your life, it'll take your marriage to a new level. It'll take your parenting to a new level. It'll take your life as an employee to a new level. Because when God gets involved in your life, He brings change to your life. He's doing a new thing. Can you see God doing a new thing? Nobody's. Everybody's got this dead look on their face. God's doing a new thing. Colin and I are part of a Anzac Pastors Network. And this past week, there was a pastor from Tasmania, from Hobart, Tasmania. I mean, the revival and miracles that are happening in Australia is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He was saying to us, he said, our services today, we can't finish. It's lasting over 3 hours. How many of you would like to be in a service here and we finish at 1 o'clock? Some of you are tapping the person. I said, I hope it's not happening today. They're prayer meetings. They're having nightly. Say nightly. Not once a month where we have to almost come and pick you up to come to prayer. And people don't come to prayer. They are praying until midnight. Daily. While were you watching Netflix? People are praying in Australia for their nation. I was so encouraged. And I'm saying, I'm going to challenge every nation, Christchurch, at our next monthly prayer. You better come and pray in Jesus' name. I want that revival in Christchurch. I want New Zealand saved in Jesus' name. But it's going to take an army of people. It cannot just take the pastors that believe in miracles. It's going to take an army of people. I remember one year, I didn't threaten people. I encouraged them. Come and pray. Please come pray. Please. That prayer meeting, we had 91 people come. But the next month, we had 31. And now we're down to the frozen chosen. God's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. I'm desperate for the new thing. I want more. I have a heart for this city. I have a heart for this nation. And I'm praying. I need you to stand with our team as we trust God. It says, now it springs up. Do you perceive it? Do you see the things that are springing up? It says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And so when you look at the context of this verse, here the prophet is reflecting back on what happened to the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. He said, God made a way for them. Remember, they faced the Red Sea. And Moses said, oh my goodness, I don't know, how am I going to get through the Avon River? How am I going to get through? And you know what God did? Parted. He made a way. What are you facing today that is wilderness to you and you think, I have no idea how to get through? Friends, when you put your faith and trust and in God alone, He will make a way. I know there are people that are trusting God for jobs here. If you trust God, hold on. You keep applying. Never give up. If you say, Pastor, I've put in 500 applications, go and put in the 501st application. You never give up in Jesus' name. Sometimes I think people give up one step short of their miracle. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. No, you keep going. You keep trusting God. The promise of God says, I will make a way in the wilderness. Then he says, and streams in the wasteland. That's referring to when they were thirsty, God struck a rock and water came out. Sometimes God will use unconventional methods to bring your provision and that time of refreshing. Sometimes we put God in a box that he only works this way. No, God can work any way. He can strike a rock and something can happen. That's the daddy I serve. Turn to the person next to you and say, have you taken these notes? You see, basically what the prophet was saying here to the group of people, he says, I did that for your forefathers. Guess what? I will do it again. God will do it again in your situation. Trust God. Trust God. Isaiah 55 verse 10 says the following. It says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. And here are two wonderful pictures in God's word about how God works. How many of you love rain? I love rain. You must see my lawn. My lawn is magnificent. It is rich green. Why? I work the lawn. I water it. I feed it. I take out those terrible things called weeds. And it looks amazing. Let me tell you a little bit about rain. It is refreshing. I've just had water here. Okay, it's not rain, but rain, it's water. Oh, that's so refreshing. We use it for recreation, leisure, hygiene. If we look at snow, snow becomes water. We use it for sport, recreation, leisure. And this is a beautiful picture of rain and snow coming from heaven. We need whatever comes from heaven, his glory, his power, his purposes. And it is for all our benefit. And it says that do not return to it without watering the earth. The snow doesn't fall and think, oh, earth doesn't need me. I'm going to now go back to heaven. Or the raindrops fall. Oh, they have enough rain here. I'm going to go back to heaven and start raining back up. It doesn't work that way. It says, and this is the result, and making it bud and flourish and yield seed for the sower and bread for the eater. You see, something happens when the rain and the snow falls. And you'll see the context in the next verse, what this is referring to. But you see, when the rain and snow falls, it's for the benefit of the earth. Because they are buds. So the rain and the snow is really referring to God's presence, his word, and what he has for you. Are there things budding in your life? I love roses. How many of you are rose fans? I mean, my latest rose is a tequila sunrise. I don't know how they get the word tequila from that rose, but anyway. And when I see a new bud, do you know how excited I get? Are there new buds in your life? When the power of God falls, the presence of God falls, the word of God falls in your life, do you have new buds? Is there something growing? Is there something stirring in you? Are you beginning to flourish? So, you know, often when people hear the word flourish, they think money. No, are you flourishing in your life? Body, soul, mind, and spirit. Are you flourishing in who you are? Tap the person next to you and say, are you listening? Don't sleep. This is for you. Now, because I noticed one or two people with their eyes closed. So it's either you're praying and interceding for me, or you're resting in the Lord because you watched soccer at 4 a.m. last night. And so here we also see, and because of all of this, God gives us two things. He gives us seed and he gives us bread. What is, shout it out, what is seed for? It's not a trick question, by the way. It's pretty simple. It's on the screen. What is seed for? What is seed for? Okay, that group. What is seed for? Middle group. What is seed for? All right, what is bread for? Eating. You see, friends, this is the challenge. If you're not flourishing today, I want to ask you the question. Are you taking the seed God gives you and you sowing it faithfully? Or are you eating your seed? The problem and challenge with people today, and your seed is your finances. Are you a good steward of what God's entrusted to you? Because a lot of people today eat their seed and they wonder why there's no harvest for them. Let me say that again because this is for free. A lot of people eat their seed instead of sowing their seed. I go back to what I'm saying. I'm so thankful, Pastor Nathan and I and our team, for the generous sowers in the house. Because they've taken their seed, they've embraced biblical stewardship, and they've sown it, tithes, offerings, generosity, sacrificial giving. Don't ever eat your seed. You will never, ever have a harvest. Speak to a farmer. Speak to a farmer. If he eats all these seed, you'll never have another harvest. You eat the bread God gives you and don't eat the seed. Amen? All right, let's continue. And so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I had sent it. So the rain, the snow, refers to this. My word, say my word. You see, God's word, I'm preaching God's word. When you read the Bible, God's word. When you listen to a podcast, God's word. When you worship scripture, God's word. It says, so it's with my word. When it goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. So as I preach God's word here this morning, as the seed of his word goes forth, it will always accomplish what it's sent out to be. I believe some of you will get excited, ignited, delighted. Some of you will say, oh, not now. But let me tell you, the seed will always accomplish and it will never, ever return empty. That is the power of God's word. That's the power of God's word. It says, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Isn't that great? So when Colleen runs, ministering from God's presence, that's God's word going forth. It'll always accomplish. It'll always accomplish. When we do men's ministry, ladies' ministry, when you do one-on-one discipleship with somebody, whenever the word of God is spoken, it'll always accomplish. We might not see the fruit tomorrow, but there will be fruit. I sent a message to my brother this week to say, I'm almost finished my master's. I've just got an exam to write, then I'm done. And I said to him, he said to me the following, he said, I'm so proud of you for what you've accomplished. And my answer to him, he said, it's because of my praying mother for who I am today. My mother at 95 years of age, I know she prays for me every day. When I was in my backslidden state, when I was a university student, it was my mother who prayed. I want to encourage you about the power of prayer. Never ever stop praying for your loved ones who have drifted away or have not responded to the gospel. Because here the Bible says, God's word will always achieve the purpose for which I'd sent it. There's something about prayer. Amen. Last verse, I can ask the band to come up. It says, oh goodness, what happened there? It says, you, who's you? You. When the rain falls, the snow comes upon you, when you embrace the biblical principle, the Bible achieves, the Word of God achieves everything that's in your life. It says you. When you embrace it in all its fullness, it says you will go out with joy. Now this joy is not, ha, 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 that's laughter. Joy is an internal strength that you can stand and withstand anything and everything that comes your way. It says you will go out with joy. If you embrace what all God has for you, you will have that internal strength and you will be led forth in peace. Amidst your challenges in life, you can have peace in your heart. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that only comes from the Holy Spirit. And then it says, the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. I used to take that literally. I thought I'll travel near the Alps and I will hear the mountains start singing to me. Or we got trees in our garden and I see the branches doing this. It's an image that I believe God has for us. The prophet is wanting us to say, saying that when you embrace everything that God has for you, nature responds in the same way to say that they are with us in this incredible journey, that it's almost like it's an image, the mountains singing and the trees clapping their hands. Man, I hope one day you'll hear the Alps, when you're skiing on the Alps, singing to you. Powerful image. Something about nature responding when we do something. Let me close with this. In all my time in walking with Christ, there's always something I do. God responds. You always have to do something. The only time you don't have to do anything is the story of salvation on the cross. Jesus freely gives it to you and I. You just receive it. You can't earn it. You can't work your way into the kingdom of God. But here is, I just try to summarize what I'm saying in a few points. I want to encourage you and I, all of us. Let's forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Can you see God's doing a new thing? Can you perceive it? I pray that and I include myself, our spiritual eyes will open. That we'll be able to really understand what life's about. Life's not about accumulation of things. It's about what your right standing with God and how God can use you in the city and this nation. Position yourself for all that God has for you. What is God doing? God is doing a new thing. I want to say to you, if you're experiencing wilderness, God will make a way. God will make a way. I don't know how He'll do it, but I believe He'll part the Red Sea for you. I believe it. I believe it. Sometimes it's not the way you think. Maybe if you just surrender and say, God, you make a way. And watch what God will do. I believe God, if you need a refreshing, God will create streams in your wilderness, in your wasteland, that you'll be refreshed. And I pray that the water and the snow, symbolizing God's word, His presence, that your life will have new buds. You'll flourish. He'll give you seed. give you bread. In Jesus' name, amen.